Today, we are happy to have Jinzhao Wang from ETH. He will tell us about his recent work with Renato Renner about the replica trick calculation of the what we call entropy. So please.
Okay, thank you, Benny. Thank you for the invitation. Today, I'm going to talk about a recent work with Renato about trying to understand the replica tree calculation as an information theorist. So we try to give a, let's say, a quantum information perspective on what's going on in the high energy community. So to begin with, I will quickly review the information puzzle, the story about the page curve, and the recent progress of people who are trying to compute the page curve using the so-called replica trick and the island formula. And then I will point out some, I'll give some remarks or comments about island formula that is not necessarily problematic, but at least to the eye of the information theorist, it looks there's some sort of issue there. And then I'll try to clarify these issues using some an observation that involves a quantum definitely theorem, and give three interpretations of what's actually being calculated via the replica trick. And then in the end, I will mention how one of these interpretations can lead us to something that is beyond the island form. So throughout the talk, I use this schematic sketch of black hole, where we can just think of it as a solution of the Einstein equation that has an exterior region and interior region separated by this blue surface, which is called the horizon. Okay, so let's get started. The famous information puzzle starts with Hawking's seminar result predicting the black hole actually is a thermodynamic object. It has a temperature and it radiates. So Hawking's calculation shows that the radiation is thermal and featureless. So roughly speaking, you can think of the process as a pair creation of internal and external modes, which are entangled, but separated by the horizon. The preparation goes on, more and more modes are separated. And the if you ask about the density matrix of the radiation state in the exterior, it's roughly speaking a thermal state. And for our purpose in the talk, we're going to think of it as a maximally entangled state, just as breaking K Bell pairs. So naively, if you just compute the entropy of it, it's something that will keep increasing, as suggested by this picture. And you can also question if the black hole is you know, is formed by a collapsing star, which you know it's pure state. And then once the black hole is totally evaporated, if all there is left is radiation, and you're left with a thermal state. So how is information preserved? So this is roughly speaking the black hole information puzzle. One can be more precise by focusing on the von Neumann entropy of the radiation, here plotted in this diagram. So Hawking's prediction basically says the entropy of the radiation will just keep going as indicated in this dashed curve. And it is a violation of unitarity if we believe that the black hole really has the number of degree of freedom being bounded by the area of the horizon. So you can ask the question, if black hole were to evolve unitarily, what kind of curve of this entropy, radiation entropy, should we see as a function of time? So this is the question that Page asked and also answered. So basically, Page's argument is that let's suppose black hole evolution is given by some typical random unit tree. Then he shows that the entropy of the radiation goes up until the half-life of black hole and then goes down. So roughly speaking, the argument is like the total state of the black hole and the radiation is pure. So we know as a fact of Schmidt decomposition that the entropy of one system, say the radiation, is bounded by the minimum of the dimension of either two. And given that the state is a typical Hall random state, then this boundary is typically saturated. So this is how Page got his curve. And as time goes by, the dimension of B drops and the dimension of R increases. And this gives you this sort of triangular curve. And of course, this curve is argued, you know, based on the assumption that black hole does evolve unitarily as seen from our observer. The challenge is to really obtain this curve using gravity calculations. So this, of course, the progress people, let's say, high-energy physicists have made in the last 3 years ago or so. And I think you will hear a much better review of this later in the colloquium talk. But now for the completeness of this talk, I will also give you a quick review about the main idea that is used in this calculation that produces the Page curve. So the idea is to use something called the replica trick. So obviously, if we just use the von Neumann's formula and with the thermal state rho R, they give us the non-unitary answer. Let's try a different way to compute the entropy that relies on a rewriting of the same formula in the limit of, say, Rényi entropy of order n at the limit of n goes to zero, goes to one. So you can, by rewriting this formula, it suggests that one can prepare n copies of the black hole system and try to measure the expectation value of the cyclic shift operator. So this is something, this trace function, the trace of rho r tensor n times the tau n, is something that the gravitational Poisson integral knows how to compute. So we can, the way to do it is try to set up appropriate boundary conditions that matches this quantity that we try to compute. And say the gravitational Poisson integral, we try to compute the expectation value of this tau operator. And it does so by setting up the boundary conditions so that the partition function evaluated with these boundary conditions gives this expectation value of the tau n observable. So this is the idea. And just like in any Poisson integral calculation, all we can set up is the boundary condition, but we have to be democratic about all the possibilities that are compatible with the boundary condition. So here the challenge is to sum over all possible configurations, in particular different geometric configurations that are compatible with this boundary condition. So here I draw the example of n equal to 3, where we have 3 the copies of the radiation system contracted as according to this cyclic shift operator. And then the point is to use the saddle point approximation to just turn the integration, the Poisson integral, into a sum over saddle points. And apparently there are 2 saddle points that are going to be important for this calculation of this quantity here. One corresponds to a disconnected sort of 3 black hole geometry as sketched here. And you can think of it just as 3 copies of the original black hole. And this, we will call it the Hawking saddle, for the reason that if you just consider this solution to the partition function, you'll get the same answer as Hawking. The new idea is that people realize that you should consider another possible saddles that is compatible with this boundary condition, which is a connected wormhole geometry, also called the replica wormhole. And now the idea is just to sum up these 2 and plug into the formula and see what that gives you. So the formula involves n to 1 limit. So roughly speaking, when we have this replica wormhole geometry, we should fold it up back to the original one black hole situation. And when you fold it up, you have some sort of conical singularity building up at this point of symmetry, or the point of the fixed point, so to speak. And this fixed point gives you a region behind the horizon called the island. And long story short, this entropy formula will give you, will boil down in the limit of n to 1 to the so-called island formula. So the island formula has a familiar form because basically it's just the generalized entropy, which says the entropy is the Perkin term, Hawking term, plus the entropy of the matter field. However, as opposed to evaluating the generalized entropy on the horizon, it evaluates the generalized entropy with respect to the island. And the island is found via this extremization procedure. Okay, so this is the formula that comes out of this replica tree calculation. So why does this give us the page curve? For a young black hole, that is for time scale before the page time, remember we said there are two shadows. For a young black hole, apparently the Hawking shadow dominates. So there's no such thing as island for a young black hole. So the left-hand side of this formula, which we call S graph, is simply given by S of R on the right-hand side because the island is trivial for a young black hole. So the two curve matches in the first phase. But for an old black hole, that is for time scale after the page time, there's a non-trivial region with this non-trivial island behind the horizon, then you will bend the page curve down. So so this is, roughly speaking, how the replica trick gives us the page curve. But remember here, we use a different notation for the entropy calculated via the replica trick called the S graph, because we don't know a priori how this is related to S of R that Hawking computed. And apparently they are different. We'll come back to this matter later. So let's see a more concrete example. We will mention that in the end of the talk as well. So I might as well give you some details about this model. So this is one of the models where the previous mentioned calculation is made precise. So the black hole in consideration is roughly the same as the black hole we considered before, but now we don't have a dynamical evaporation. We just replace the interior of the black hole by some brain that is static, and it is has some degrees of freedom that are entangled by hand. You know, we're putting some entanglement with a reservoir of qubits in the exterior region. And we just consider a state that are entangled between the interior and this relation. Now the point is, so this model makes the calculation much simpler. We can compute this partition function that the replica trick would like to compute in this precise way as a sum over geometries. Here the geometry are labeled by some permutations or partitions. And each saddle contribution can be explicitly computed. So the details does not matter here. All we need to know is that the page curve comes when a particular term dominates the sum over geometries, namely if the saddle corresponding to the trivial partition or the trivial permutation, or the saddle point corresponds to the cyclic permutation dominance, either of these two cases will give you one of the two possible answers. And this, when you plug in this partition function back to the formula for the entropy, you will get the page curve. And of course, here in this model, nothing's really evaporating. The entanglement is put in by hand. So the page curve looks like this, but qualitatively it captures the essence of the island formula.
Can I ask a sure. question?
Sure.
So this island formula, is it like, it holds for what kind of systems? Like, is it proven or derived or?
So rigorously speaking, the Euler formula is only giving you an upper bound, because when we assume when we do the Pauss integral, we assume certain configuration dominates. That means we are discarding some other configurations that we don't know how to compute. So that means we are underestimating the partition function. That means we are overestimating the entropy. So I think rigorously speaking, the Euler formula, which basically in this model is just this max of this two or the mean of K and S black hole, is giving you.
My question is, does it apply to 3D or 4D or higher dimensional black holes as well?
I think the precise calculations available on the market only refers to the 2D models. And so here I'm talking about this West Coast model, and also in the East Coast model is also a 2D calculation. So so for the purpose of this talk, people sort of extrapolates the validity of the 2D calculation to higher dimensions, but precise calculation not being shown. Yeah.
So what aspects of this 2D model especially makes this calculation possible? Like, is it?
For example, here, because the 2D gravitational partition function, what I denoted by Z bar here, which is sort of this is the bona fide gravitational Pauss integral computed with some boundary conditions on some disk topology. So this is something that these people are able to compute precisely. But I think in high dimensions, such a calculation is not viable yet.
And sorry, actually, I didn't get why the page curve is like a flat thing in this.
So why the page curve is what?
Yeah, flat here. Is it like
flat?
Yeah. So what is? Yeah.
Because the in this model the black hole doesn't shrink. What you have is just a static situation where you entangle say k modes with the interior, and you just tune this number k by hand. And this curve, you shouldn't think of it as a dynamical procedure. You should think of it as a collection of snapshots of different k values I put into this entanglement.
I see. So,
yeah. So in this model.
Sorry. So what is k here?
Yeah. K is just the. Let's say k is the number of. K tries to mimic the number of Hawking quanta that are emitted.
I see. Yeah. So this model has some ability to generate k bell pairs, but somehow we try to keep the size of the black hole constant, and then we make k very large. That's the model.
Right. So in the context of this model, naively you say the entropy just by cutting k bell pairs, so the entropy goes like this diagonal line.
I see.
But the gravity calculation says you were saturated after this.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you for the questions. So that's basically my summary of what people have done. So let's look at the Euler formula a bit carefully. We get this formula from the replica trick, and this is sort of a it's a gravitational calculation. It's a sort of a black box calculation because we don't start with a density matrix. Rather, we start with some boundary conditions from Pauss integral. So a priori, we don't know whether this object is S graph it is. Okay. So there are some funny features of this formula, I would say. For example, the radiation system R appears on both sides of the formula. But they have so for this formula to make sense, you have to give some fine prints about how to read this formula. for example, the left-hand side, as often people say, captures the fine-grained entropy of the radiation in quantum gravity, whereas the right-hand side, which is here, you have the entropy of the island union with the radiation. People would say the radiation here, the entropy of the radiation here refers to the semi-classical description. A second point is that although Hawking's prediction is in the sense incorrect because you know it doesn't give you the page code, however, it's incorrect in a very precise way, right? In the sense that you still need to put in Hawking's state on the right-hand side of this formula to get the right answer. So you can think of this formula as an oracle where you plug in this wrong answer and you will output the right answer for you. But then why it's incorrect in so precise manner. And after all these questions boils down to what exactly is S of grab that replica trick gives us. And can we write it in terms of some familiar entropy measures in quantum information? And why it is different from Hawking's S of R, basically computed just using Von Neumann's formula. So my result is I try to convey you in this talk is that using something called the quantum definiteness theorem, we can give this S graph three different interpretations. Okay, so in the replica trick, we consider many copies of the black holes. So one can say that clearly Hawking doesn't get the right answer because he forgot the replica wormholes. But that's not too fair because Hawking never considered many black holes to start with. So he has no chance to see his replica wormholes. And on the other hand, the very existence of the replica wormholes and the fact that there's this difference between these two quantities indicates that the replicas are actually correlated. Or put it differently, the partition function that we try to compute, you know, it doesn't really compute the observable tau on the state that are IID, but rather they are correlated. So, of course, the IID situation is just a special case of the jointed state being correlated. So the existence of replica wormholes tells us that maybe we shouldn't postulate that this quantity is actually, although we try to compute this quantity on the right-hand side here, as in the formula for the ring entropy, but maybe because we don't got to say what we fill into the geometries when we set up the gravitational pulse integral, maybe the gravitational pulse integral is actually computing something like this.
Sorry. What does it mean by replicas are correlated, actually?
Yes. So what I mean is this. So you can think of, for the pulse integral, of course, it just computes for you a number. And this number, so you can sort of cut open the pulse integral so this top operator actually connects different cuts in a cyclic manner. So what I mean is if we split, if we cut open this pulse integral and think about the cut open pulse integral as defining a functional, which is trace of rho times some operator, which could be tau n or something else, then I'm saying this functional, which implicitly define the density operator, is not necessarily a product state.
The density operator rho r n is not the product?
Yes, so I'm saying, yes, generally when you have a product boundary conditions, the quantity that you know, in post-integral in the post-integral framework, usually when you have a partition function, you're saying it computes the expectation value.
Okay, I think I got it.
And now I'm just saying the state where you computed this expectation value on is not necessarily, or it's a strong assumption to assume that it's IID. It's we should be relaxed about that assumption, and we should say it could be correlated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the first point, and of course, this is generally different. Although this is correlated, but we do have some symmetry to explore, because when the replica trick is set up, the boundary conditions are really, you know, identical and independent. So this symmetry should, this particular so-called permutation symmetry should carry over to the state. And then here is the quantum definite theory. Here's where the quantum definite theorem comes in. It says that if you have n black hole replicas, this capital N here, that has this symmetry, that is, you can permute them and doesn't change its state, then any subset, small n replicas, the state of any subset of small n replicas is a convex combination of product states over some ensemble curly W. Okay, so we can have the statement that the state on the radiation is almost a product state up to this classical correlation over some ensemble curly W. So what does this bias now comes to the first view point. One thing we can do is that we can just, you know, as we often do in information theory, we can give a label, we can give a register system to this ensemble. Okay, so one thing we can do is we can consider this extension of the state with some system W, capital W, and this W just registers what ensemble, what instance of the ensemble that is in the cell. Okay. And then, so this W system for now is just some abstract reference. And then we can show that the replica trip actually computes the conditional entropy, which precisely is the radiation entropy conditioned on knowing the reference W. Okay, so this is the curve again. Remember the S graph gave you the page curve, the replica trick gave you the page curve. And now we say that actually what has the page curve is the conditional entropy. On the contrary, the Hawking's original calculation, which concerns the radiation entropy without conditioning, give you the original dashed curve. And you can think of this large entropy past the page time is because of this large mixing of the ensemble. So what we learn from this viewpoint is that both curves are actually correct. They just refer to different quantities. However, for the observer that is outside, only one of them is operationally relevant. And we claim it's actually the one that follows page curve is the operationally relevant one. And this is because when you try to do experiments with the radiation state, any kind of experiment, say, for example, a typical one could be a quantum state tomography experiment where you try to figure out what the state is. And you do so by preparing many states. And the gravity description tells you that necessarily the state will have this form of the definite form, right? So this is basically saying that, for example, in a typical quantum state tomography scenario where your experimental colleague prepares an identical copy of state, but he forgot to tell you what state he prepared, then the Bayesian prior to start with is just going to be some mixture over some combination over some product states. And your task is to, you know, collect a sample of the states and apply measurement and figure out what the state is. So in the story of Hawking radiation, you can never prepare this mixture due to this ensemble. You can never prepare identical copies of this rule of R. What you can prepare is just this definite state. And once you apply measurements to a sample of your collection, and this measurement will update your Bayesian measure PW to some peaked value around some particular W, and then all the rest of the system, you know what W value is, and all of them will follow the page curve. So the operationally relevant quantity we claim is the conditional entropy. And this idea is yes.
Yes. So in this case, so we consider like any copies of the black hole, and we do, we write it as a ensemble sum, and then. But this PW, does it depend on N or doesn't?
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
Does not. I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so and. Why is that? It's actually like.
It's part of the theorem. I didn't say. So this measure. So we have two N here, one capital N, one small n. So secretly, what I'm saying is that if you have a large number of capital N black holes, and you draw, say your replica trick only applies to a subset of N, and then this measure is unique when capital N is much larger than this small n.
I see, yeah. I see.
So this is a precise way of saying it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So this idea is actually very close to the story of baby universes, who also claimed that the states of radiation admits this kind of form, although they don't say W, but they say something like alpha sectors and so on. You see here all the states in the sum are orthogonal, so you can think of them as different super selection sectors. But of course their argument postulates that the interior of the black hole is described by some baby universe hyperspace. Here we don't postulate that, we just stay outside, we think everything operationally. But we nevertheless we arrive at the same conclusion. One difference is that here the W is just abstract in our story. We don't necessarily give it any physical meaning, but baby universe could be one specific physical realization of it.
What is baby universe here?
I'm not expert of it. So there are some old ideas about people consider the situation of more than one black hole, and then they claim that in the interior they are all connected with some wormholes, and if you cut open, if you cut these wormholes, and each slice is like a closed universe, and this is called the baby universe. And
is it the idea or speculation? Is each W corresponds to?
I'll say the following. So this is an old idea, and it's sort of revived by Murrow and Maxfield in some recent works, 1 or 2 years ago, and there they try to analyze the same problem. What's actually been calculated in the recent page curve calculation, and they arrive at basically the same conclusion at what I have here, that they arrive at it uses some stories about baby universes and how the hyperspace of baby universe, the structure of its hyperspace. I would just say our approach doesn't have any of that, and yet, but nevertheless, arrive at the same conclusion. So we can be agnostic about what W is. Or if for someone who believes in this line of a story, he might tend to believe that our W here is just little space universe. Yeah. So yeah.
Sorry, can I ask a question about this? So
sure.
Does any of this make sense for like a single copy of a black hole? Or are you saying like we secretly have to think about an ensemble to understand even, you know, like a single black hole radiating?
Let me see. So, okay. So I think the ensemble is necessary. Maybe I'll present my second viewpoint that will sort of specifically tell you what's the difference between many copies and one copy. Yeah, I see if my second viewpoint answers your question. Would that be good?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So, okay, so one question is, this W is something, you know, abstract. You can also question, how does the semi-classical gravitational Poisson know about W? Because apparently the condition entropy says it's the entropy of radiation conditioned on knowing that, right? So how on earth does this equality hold? And one way to look at it is that this information of W is actually contained in the correlations among the radiation systems of M black holes. Technically, we can have the following statement, that is, the same quantity is actually the so-called regularized radiation entropy of many black holes. Here, the regularization is in the sense of information theory, which we consider many systems in the limit of n goes to infinity, and then we normalize by n. Okay, this is to be distinguished to the usual regularization in a field theory. But the intuition is that, again, so like Ben asked just now, this PW, this mixture, this mixing probability, PW, is something that doesn't scale with this capital M. So when you take this limit, the contribution due to the ensemble is bounded. So you will vanish in this limit. Here we have a second way to characterize what the regular tree actually computes for us, and that is, it is the regularized entropy of many black holes. And on the contrary, so let me maybe skip this point. On the contrary, what Hawking computed is the entropy of a single black hole. Okay, so that is, if you prepare many black holes, but you trace out n minus one of them, and you ask the question, what is the entropy of that? And this is given by this mixture, which is what we saw before. So this gives you a second explanation or interpretation of the difference between these two curves. One remark is that first, this correlation, you know, is, so what this formula tells you is that the correlation, the information about W is contained in the correlation among the radiation systems. And geometrically, you can think of this being manifested as what we call wormholes. Usually wormholes, you know, depending on what type of wormhole it is, usually we think of them as entanglement. But here it's important to emphasize that this W correlation is classical. So if this wormhole is really, we should think of as manifesting W, then it should be distinguished from the usual ER equal to EPR stuff. A second remark is that in some sense the information puzzle boils down to the fact that when you have a single black hole, such a decomposition doesn't make sense, because decomposing a density matrix into an ensemble of density matrices is something arbitrary, right? There's no unique way of doing that. And such a decomposition only makes sense if you have many black holes. So this is why when you have only one single black hole, you don't see the page curve, And what we're saying is, although the replica trick is doing something strange using the black gravitational toolbox, what it actually does is it computes the regularized entropy of many black holes. So does it answer your question about one black hole or many black holes? Okay, so hopefully maybe we can come back to this later. Okay, so this is the second viewpoint about what actually the replica tree is computing for us. The third viewpoint is about this ensemble average, right? So remember the Dafinetti theorem gave us a ensemble, this curly W. It's part of the prediction of the theorem. And we said this is something abstract. We don't have to know some physics of it. So now let's just push this abstraction one step further. So what we claim is that, okay, so at least mathematically, what we can do is to think of this W as a sample space. And if we equip this sample space with some sigma algebra and some probability function, P, that gives this PW here, and then we can define this density operators as random variables that are on this Kolmogorov triple. So these are maps from, these are measurable maps from this, the Kolmogorov triple to the space of density matrices. And really we're dealing with random density matrices. So what we're saying is that the replica trick really concerns identical copies of the random variable rho of R. And then it follows that the replica tree calculation is actually giving you the same von Neumann entropy formula, except now it evaluates the von Neumann entropy of the random density matrix. And now the whole thing is, of course, is now a random variable, and you need to take the expectation value. So in this line of thought, we obtain the standard formula for the von Neumann entropy. So we see that the replica trick is not doing something strange, it's actually just computing the von Neumann entropy, but we have to treat the density matrix to be random. Okay. That's the only difference. Once we treat the density matrix to be random in this precise mathematical sense, then we see that the replica trick is actually computing the expectation value of the von Neumann entropy of the random density matrix. So this idea of ensemble average is something considered in the literature as a sort of a viable solution to this, to resolve this discrepancy between these two curves. So the principal solution. But here it sort of naturally comes from the Dafinetti theorem, which gives us an ensemble W. A side remark is that this randomness is perhaps something is something that implicitly defined by the gravitational Poisson integral, right? So this PW here, which is this part of this sample space, part of this Kolmogorov triple, is implicitly defined by the gravitational Poisson integral, and it's argued to be plausibly a general feature of quantum gravity. But let's move on. So once we have this this description, all we need to know is to somehow extract the spectral measure of this random variable, right? So this describes the density of the eigenvalues. And once you know this function, you know this distribution function, the formula tells you to just compute this integral, and this will give you the entropy. And this is something that, because this has to do with random matrices, this is something one can extract using the tools of free probability theory, which roughly speaking is probability theory that concerns non-commutative random variables, such as large random matrices with independent joint matrix element distributions. And this can be made very precise in the toy model I mentioned before, of the West Coast model. And in that context, you can basically turn the gravitational Poisson integral calculation precisely as a so-called free moment Coumarin relation in free probability theory. And that opens doors to basically abstracting all the gravitational Poisson integral calculations into probability calculations. And then you can not only compute one variable quantity, you can also compute fidelity or relative entropies or anything you want without really going to the replica tray. And it will give you the gravity answer nonetheless. So this is the third point. So let me quickly summarize. I showed you three viewpoints that sort of distinguishes the replica calculation that people recently done and the Hawkins original calculation. The first viewpoint said the new calculation is computing the entropy, the radiation entropy conditional knowing some reference system that, whereas Hawkins calculation concerns the unconditional version. The second viewpoint says, it's actually the regularized entropy of many black holes, whereas Hawkins calculation concerns a single black hole, the entropy of a single black hole. And the third viewpoint says, the state of the radiation is described by a random density matrix. And then the replica calculation concerns the expectation value of the volume entropy of the random density matrix, whereas Hawkins calculation concerns the volume entropy of the averaged density matrix. So here the symbol means you take all the possible instances of this random variable and you just sum them over. You have the one deterministic mixed state and you compute the entropy of that. So that's Hawkins calculation in the third viewpoint. Okay, so this is three viewpoint, and they are all mathematically equivalent. You can just you can pick your favorite one and think about what that implies. So I'm now gonna, in the last two slides, I'm just gonna take the last viewpoint, this sort of more mathematical or abstract viewpoint about dealing with random matrices, and see how that can give us something beyond the Eilean formula. So the general question is, we want to work with this West Coast model, which I showed you before. We have like K Bell pairs between some radiation system and the black hole that you put in by hand. And of course, in that case, we just have Bell pairs. We just have maximally entangled state. And now I want to say, if I put in some state that is have some arbitrary spectrum, can I somehow get the gravity description of the entropy of the radiation, or does that also something that give me by the Eilean formula, or some sort of generalized entropy, or is something else? Okay, so let's just take this 2D model of PSSY or the West Coast model, and look at this formula we had before, but now it's just slightly more complicated because in the second term here, we don't have the maximally mixed state. So remember previously, in the previous slide, we don't have the second term because in that case, we have a maximally mixed state. And now I just have arbitrary state, real bar. And now the gravitational calculation, by doing the Poisson rule, I get this formula. Okay, and now in the third viewpoint, I know this formula is actually computing the expectation value of the moments or the nth moments of this random variable. Okay, so I know this by the third viewpoint. And now I can think of the terms in the following manner. I can think of the first term being something called the free cumulant of some gravitational sector state. And I can think of the second term being given by the moments of the matter sector, rho of M or rho of R. So the reason of thinking in terms of this is that this very formula defines an operation of convolution of a non-commutative random variables in free probability theory. And this operation is called a free multiplicative convolution. And you see, this formula concerns the moments of rho that I'm interested in computing in terms of the cumulants and the moments of the gravitational sector mu g and the matter sector mu n. So this formula, this cross cross product. This box cross product basically is defined by this formula. And this is a known operation called a free multiplicative convolution. And with this, I can just compute, as advocated before, the entropy using this measure directly. Okay, so I will quickly show you a curve of that result. So the result of that calculation for a general state is this solid line, which is my page curve. And you can see that it differs from the island formula, which is the dashed line here. Okay, well, this is expected because the island formula should only give you an upper bound. And in the middle regime, we don't have anything like the island formula. The entropy is not given by the generalized entropy of anything. It's just given by the free multiplicative convolution. Okay. And nevertheless, the island formula still holds when the black hole is very young or when the black hole is very old. So this is now, these regimes are curiously governed by the one-shot entropies, but I won't have time to talk about those. Okay, so this is, I would say, one of the implications we learn by taking the random matrix viewpoint. Okay, so let me conclude. So I have reviewed for you the fine-grained entropy calculation of the Hawking radiation in the literature, the progress made by people in the last 3 years or so. And this is given by the island formula, which evaluates the generalized entropy on the island and gives you the page curve supporting unitary black hole evolution. So here, using the definite theorem, we give three interpretations of this calculation. First, the radiation entropy is actually computed is conditional on knowing some abstract reference, and which is equivalently, we can think of it as the regularized entropy of many black holes, or we can think of it as the entropy, as the expectation value of the entropy of the radiation depicted by a random density matrix. On the contrary, Hawking's average increasing entropy consumes a single black hole that is not operationally relevant for outside observers collecting Hawking radiation. So under the ensemble interpretation, where we model things by random density matrices, we can use that to go beyond the island formula and compute entropy more accurately in a generic scenario, using some fancy tools from free probability, at least in the simple time model. So that's all I want to say, and thank you for listening.
Okay, thanks for a great talk. So let's thank the speaker. All right, so it's time for questions. So if you have questions, just speak up. If not, I will ask questions. Can I ask questions? So is this, so I'm still a bit confused. So should I think of this as like a replica calculation as like a, it's just a like technical fix of the bug in the gravity side by considering many copies of replicas, or is there anything real, physically real about replicas when I am looking at the single instance black hole? It's just like all these calculations and the technical tools is nice, and it's one way to make a semi-classical gravitational path integral calculation to make sense, which wouldn't make sense is there any lesson I can learn about single black hole?
I think my opinion is this. So in the replica calculation, I mean, there you set up many, but in the end you take the limit to one. In my opinion, that calculation, the replicas are actually just mathematical devices, where the wormholes, so to speak, are mathematical devices. But I think what we learned from our analysis is that a better way of thinking of that calculation is perhaps the second viewpoint, where although they are doing that, they are apparently taking the limit of small n to one, but actually that procedure they do is equivalently as computing the entropy of many black holes that are normalized by one over n. So I think this sort of means that I think on a high level, at least heuristically, this tells us why Hawking missed the answer, because really, just like any quantum experiment, we should think in terms of many copies, many preparations of the state, and that makes the difference. In some sense, a good analogy is that so for example, in the first viewpoint, Hawking computes something that doesn't have this reference. We can think of this reference being something that is not provided by the semi-classical description of the space-time. To give an analogy, it's a bit like if I give you one spin and doesn't tell you a coordinate about x, y, y, and z, and I ask you to describe the state of the spin, you probably cannot do anything better than giving me a maximally mixed state, because there's no way for you to say which direction it is. But if I give you many spins of the same state, I decopy those of the same state, and now you can model it as a definite state, right? As a convex combination of product states, and you can use a sample of them to define for you which direction it points at. It defines for you a z direction, for example. So I think this is roughly similar story as in here. Spacetime itself, a single black hole space itself, it doesn't give us the reference, but with many copies, we can do tomography or whatever. We can have the reference information from viewpoint one to two. We can get rid of this W because the W is already contained in the correlation of many. And then we will get the right answer, even though we don't have the reference provided by the description of semi-classical geometry. So that's my opinion. So you can
I see. But I guess, like, if we want to solve the problem page curve, true way, then it should be done by some quantum gravity calculation, which looks at single copy, right? So this calculation is really like an approximation of the how the non-partible quantum gravity effect might be working, but it's still nice progress. But anyway, now iron formula and so on, like, let's say more specific questions, like, let's say I have some black hole, let's say it's given by one specific instance of SYK model, for instance, and then I want to compute the, like, these entropies and the radiations and so on, then am I still allowed to use the Island formula, or it's...
Yes. Okay. So in your story about a single instance, I mean, it's a bit like I want to compute S of R conditional on big W equal to some small w. Like, so it's a bit like that. And of course, here I'm just telling you, I can only compute average values using this gravity trick. But provided, people like to say, provided this quantity is self-averaging, I think, which means
so
Norton's typicality, if we do have typicality in the sense that each instance value is not too far away from the average, then the answer is yes. But I think your SYK model, when we consume something like a spectral form factor, we go to the ramp or something, you don't have self-averaging. So I guess that's the challenging part.
I have lots of random questions, but how many W's do we need? I mean, I know that for definite it doesn't give us much insight about such like number of ensembles, but still, like, is there any sense of
okay, so I would just let me see. So I think so you're asking about the size of W, the dimension.
Size of W, or like, well, yeah, right. Or
well, this curly W.
Yeah. So for instance, like if I only consider like ensemble, like two or three or four things, then is it already okay, or like I need to think about it?
I think first of all, the definition theorem doesn't give us any details about what this ensemble is, or how much its dimension is, or it just says there exists such an ensemble, and the state has a sort of a convex combination structure. But I think in specific models like this PS, this West Coast model, you can. Well, they're basically, I think, I work with the continuum, you know. Mm-hmm. So there is, it's not too different from the Haarenden case. But let's say I have this this state, right? You can see my screen here. Let's say I have this state, but let's say I replace this by an integral, and I, instead of dw, I just put a d rho here, because each w label is a rho. And this d rho, I can think of it as the marginal of some Haarenden pure state. For the, let's say, the microcanonical ensemble calculation of the West Coast model. And that's a valid situation. But I think if we want to stay discrete,
we need lots of W to reduce the entropy. That's my guess. Okay. So, okay, then let's thank Jinzhou again.
Thank you. Yeah.